I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is the LCJ Q&A podcast. Joining me, five-time Emmy-nominated Star Wars The Clone Wars composer, Kevin Kiner. The show is back February 21st on Disney+. Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yo, thank you.
You're welcome. What is the earliest memory you have of Star Wars in your life?
It's going to the first movie, Episode 4, New Hope, when I was in university at UCLA. I don't think, you know, I heard the buzz about it, but I don't think there was a midnight showing of that one. I mean, maybe there was, but because I went to all the other midnight showings, but that one, yeah, I just went to it, and I guess the memory is that the first spaceship is that I'm so bad with names, the Star Destroyer or whatever it is. You know, it seemed like the hugest, biggest ship you'd ever seen in your life. I mean, it was just, especially back then in 1970s, you know, I mean, we'd never seen anything like that. And the rumble and the sound, and it's just like, God, this thing is huge. It's the biggest, there's no way a spaceship's that big. I guess that's my first memory of it.
That is really cool. Yeah, Star Wars changed cinema forever, and now here we are 40-something years later, and Clone Wars is on Disney+. What was your initial reaction to hearing the news that Clone Wars was not only going to get another season, a final season, but having it be on Disney+?
Well, I was just so happy because we didn't get to finish it, you know? I mean, Disney purchased Lucasfilm, and then we did Rebels, which I also scored. But it was just such a bummer that we didn't get to have our final season, and now we do. So, I mean, I think everyone, Dave Filoni told me about it, and I was just so enthusiastic to get going on it because you want it to take its proper journey and finish.
You mentioned Disney buying Lucasfilm and Star Wars Rebels. I think many Star Wars fans, maybe out of the gate when Disney bought Lucasfilm, were a little concerned about, oh, are they going to change things with the dynamic of the characters? Is some of the magic going to be lost? But when did you first realize, with Disney now on board with Star Wars, okay, things are going to be fine?
I would say a couple of episodes into Rebels when I saw that everybody was letting us do what we do naturally. You know, nobody was messing with it. It was absolutely the same experience as I'd had on Clone Wars with Dave Filoni and the whole group up there at Lucasfilm. They know what they're doing, and they had faith in me that I knew what I was doing, and we were off to the races. And that was and it continued to be just a really pleasant experience.
Of course, since Disney bought Lucasfilm and has put out these Star Wars movies, they have just been such juggernauts in theaters. The Rise of Skywalker wrapped up the third Star Wars movie trilogy in such a big, grand fashion at the end of the year. What were your goals going into this final season of Clone Wars in sort of making it like a big, grand finale?
One of the things was to move the music forward a bit because it had been, what, 5, 6 years, whatever, since Clone Wars had been scored, and the world changes, and the zeitgeist changes, and my tastes change as well. And I've been writing music now for 37 years, and in order to not get stale, I always challenge myself to try to be fresh, you know, and try to think of something new. So I was really interested in moving the music along.
When you watch these episodes, and I had the chance to watch the first two episodes of this new season of Clone Wars on Disney+, and the three main types of scenes I kind of notice where music is incorporated are dialogue scenes, when characters and machines enter, and big battles. Do you have a kind of strategy in dividing and conquering these types of scenes with these new episodes?
With the dialogue scenes, you know, I mean, film scoring 101, stay out of the dialogue. and yet support whatever emotion or drama or whatever is happening on the screen. And so that's, you know, you have to thin things out, but not sacrifice the integrity of the composition and still write good music, and yet a dialogue is king, and so you have to be very careful to not get in the way of the dialogue, and that's just part of the skill of scoring something properly. You know, I've been doing it for a long time, so I think I've got a good handle on how to do that. One of the new things we're bringing to, especially like the battle scenes, is I think you'll find more of a kind of a motor or a percussive electronic element in the score, especially, I'm not sure how much they're in the first two episodes you saw, but I know once we get about halfway through season seven, they really become more of a part of it, and there's more electronic elements. So the orchestra is always there, and it's always going to sound like Star Wars. But that's one of the new things that you'll find in the soundtrack of season seven, that there's more of an electronic feel.
And of course, John Williams scored the movies. And how much of an influence does his music have on what you've been able to do with this show, with the Clone Wars movie, and with Star Wars Rebels?
Well, I mean, John Williams, first of all, is my number one influence when I started scoring. And I believe that's part of the reason that I was, you know, I got the gig to do Clone Wars, and I was hired by George and Dave Filoni, was because I've been studying John since the early 80s. I revere his compositions and him as a composer. So it's really his sound is infused in who I am. When I do a clinic or some kind of a, like if I do Comic-Con, I bring along a old score that I bought in the early 80s of Star Wars. And if you look at it, it's all dog-eared. And I mean, you can tell it's really well used, and it's marked up, you know, the way you would mark up a textbook, or some people mark up their Bibles or something like that. And I put all my own kind of notations of what I think John was doing. So, I mean, I really studied him from an early age. What I tell everyone is I try not to imitate John Williams. What I do is I try to use my own voice. And I think through all those years of studying him, his style and his palette kind of infuses just who I am as a writer, and so it's going to sound like Star Wars because I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. I know how to do his sound without just imitating him, because I think imitation falls a little flat. So I still need to move forward with my own voice and be my own composer and try to have my own really strong ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely. You look at what John Williams has been able to do, getting an Oscar nomination either every year or every other year, or sometimes for two movies in one year. It's just amazing. He has such an influence on so many people. Kevin Kiner is with me right now in the LCJ Q&A, the composer of Star Wars Clone Wars on Disney+. One of the most impressive things I noticed in watching these two episodes is just the timing of everything, the timing of the music coming in and out, certain sound effects and noises coming in and out. Is it tricky in what you're doing and what the sound people are doing in making sure that timing is perfect?
Yeah, super tricky. That's sort of like, it's funny, it's like asking LeBron James, is it tricky making a three-pointer with a seven-footer in your face or something like that? You know, it's tricky, but he does it. And so, I mean, the sound guys at Skywalker Sound are the best in the world and the best in the business. And Dave Filoni is one of the best directors and creators in the world. And he really, I would say if you're going to really give props to that kind of thing, the timing of things, Dave is really hands-on, both in the beginning when we look and decide where music's going to go and where sound effects are going to go, and also at the very end. When he has all those elements, he's at the mix. I was just at the mix with him a few months ago of the very last episode and of Clone Wars. And, I mean, we were all day just bringing things in and out, trying different things and stuff like that. He's really, really hands-on and winds up with a fantastic result.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool watching that. I think even outside people who are just casual fans of Star Wars, you watch these episodes and you understand that timing. I think you'll really appreciate all the work you guys put into that. In episode two, someone, and I cannot say who for legal reasons, but someone admits that he is scared of heights. So Kevin, what's scarier for you, heights or making sure that the music for a Clone Wars episode is perfect?
For sure, I would have to say, and I go back to when I first was hired by George Lucas, that it was the scariest thing, way scarier than heights for me. And I'm pretty afraid of heights, but, you know, George asked me to rearrange the theme, and it's just the most iconic piece of music maybe in the world, and I didn't want to, you know. I told him, I said, you know, John did this properly the first time, right? And George is like, yeah, I want something, yo, big drums, let's do it. And I'm like, great. So I was pretty terrified for a while. That was really, really difficult, man. That was tough. But I think the theme came out okay. So, you know, we even talked about redoing it for season 7, and everybody finally decided that what I'd done, you know, at the very beginning of season 1 was better than anything else that we could figure out. So we just kept that theme and kept that arrangement. I'm still happy with that.
Good. There you go. Now, before I let you go, of course, in the last few months, we've had this show, we've had the Rise of Skywalker movie, also The Mandalorian, which Dave Filoni is a part of, Jon Favreau. I gotta get your thoughts on the Baby Yoda phenomenon.
I just, you know, being a fan of Star Wars, I know not everyone on Earth is as big a fan as some of us, and just to see the pervasiveness and to see it enter the public zeitgeist is really cool. I think it's brought Star Wars into a lot of homes that it might not be have as strong an influence as it would without Baby Yoda. I love Baby Yoda.
Yeah, it's adorable. I was getting my hair done today, and my hairstylist is obsessed with Baby Yoda. Thinks it's the cutest little creature. So yeah. Could there be some little Baby Yoda reference in Clone Wars, or something you snuck in at the last second to get in on this phenomenon?
Even if there was, I couldn't talk about it.
Hey, Kevin Kiner, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A. I know all the Star Wars fans are so excited for Clone Wars to return for the final season, Feb 21, on Disney+. Thanks for being on the show, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with all of you. Thank you very much.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more of these, check out the podcast section at lights-camera-jackson.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and Spotify. See you next time.